In 1997, James Cameron directed and released the film Titanic, which is a powerful illustration of the dangers of a false sense of security. The Royal Mail ship, labeled the unsinkable due to its advanced safety features designed to prevent flooding, wasn't that unsinkable anyways. But this reputation created a overconfidence among passengers and crew, misleading them to disregard warnings about potential icebergs. Historians note that the ship carried lifeboats for only about half its passengers. A glaring misjudgment in emergency preparedness. And we all know the end. The Titanic had an estimated 2,224 people, including passengers and crew, when the ship sank on April 15, 1912, after striking the iceberg. Approximately 1,500 people died, making it one of the deadliest maritime disasters in history. Now, the wreck of the unsinkable lies today on the floor of the North Atlantic Ocean at a depth of approximately 12,500 feet. The site remains as a somber underwater graveyard. We can learn many things about this tragic event, but let me point you to one thing. Feeling secure is not the same as being secure. The passage that we are considering today shows the devastating consequences of having a false sense of security. It shows how terrible it is to believe that one is safe when he is not. So I'm going to invite Joel Kowalik to please come and read the scriptures for us today. Is it working? Mine is working. I don't know if this is not working. I'm sorry. Okay, just to save time, would you just read it? Mm-hmm.
Sacrifices, but this command I gave them: obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. But they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. From the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have persistently sent all my servants, the prophets, to them, day after day. Yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. So you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. You shall call to them, but they will not answer you. And you shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, and and did not accept discipline. Truth has perished. It is cut off from their lips. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This is teamwork as well. Thank you, Joe. Good morning, everyone. If this is your first time here at Ironworks, my name is Roman, and I am the assistant pastor here at Ironworks. And today, as we continue our Advent series, I encourage you to labor with purpose as we wait for the coming of Christ by truly listening to Jesus. And here's your takeaway from my sermon. True security is found in trusting Christ's voice, not in deceptive comforts. True security is found in trusting Christ's voice, not in deceptive comforts. And I'll be sharing three reasons why the people of Israel believed that they would never, ever be handed over to their enemies in exile and captivity. But before we jump in, let me place you in the context of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, witnessed the fall of the city of Jerusalem and the temple in 586 BC. Throughout his ministry, he warned the people of Judah's failure to honor God's covenant, and he said that disaster would come. But despite his warnings, the people ignored him. They turned to idolatry, including child sacrifices. In chapter 7, the chapter that we are considering today, Jeremiah announces impending judgment for their rebellion. They are going into exile. They are going to be into captivity if they don't repent. Despite all this, the people remain falsely secure because they trusted in the temple. That's the first thing. They trusted in the sacrificial system, and they also trusted in their false prophets. So let's jump into my first point. They trusted in the temple. The first reason the people of Judah believed they would never ever face captivity or never ever will be handed over to their enemies was that they placed their trust in the physical temple of Jerusalem, and it was for them a source of protection. This belief is highlighted in Jeremiah in verses 3 and 4, where the Lord admonishes them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. This was the message they used to comfort themselves. So in essence, the temple provided, the physical temple provided a sense of security, leading people to believe that no harm could come to them. Despite all the warnings from the prophets about impending destruction, the people confidently asserted, "We have the temple of the Lord among us. It will keep us from being harmed. The God who dwells among us will never hand us over to our enemies. We are safe." However, this reliance on the temple was misguided. The temple, which symbolized God's presence, God's desire to dwell among his people, the Israelites began to take pride in its mere presence among them. And they started to focus on the symbol rather than the relationship that it represented or was meant to represent. They overlooked the more profound significance of the temple, which was men to foster a genuine connection with God instead, and instead they relied on the temple as a talisman of security. This misplaced trust ultimately led to their downfall. They failed to recognize that they would be safe if they had remained faithful in their relationship with God, not from the physical structure itself. Dear friends, the human condition, the human heart, your heart, is deeply rooted in the pursuit of security. You look for security all the time. All the time you want to feel safe. From the earliest moment of life, we seek stability, whether through relationships, possessions, or routines. Those things that may promise safety and certainty. And you know, this yearning drives our decisions, shapes how we build families, communities, and societies. Yet, many times, despite our efforts, the things we place our trust in often fall short, leaving us vulnerable and restless. You know, this universal need for security reflects a deeper spiritual reality. And that deeper spiritual reality is that only in Christ can we find lasting peace and assurance and security. Dear friends, do you also have a talisman? What gives you a sense of security and hope? Where do you look for security? Have you found true security and assurance in Christ? So that's my first point. The second reason the people believed that they would never ever go into captivity was that they misplaced their trust in their sacrificial system. God's complaint about their offerings reveals this in verse 21 and 22. It says, "Add your burnt offering to your sacrifice and eat the flesh. For in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices." What is the Bible saying here? What is God saying here? Let's unpack what God is actually saying here. You will remember that burnt offerings were meant to be entirely consumed by fire on the altar. And these were meant to symbolize total dedication, total devotion to God, atonement for sin. You know also that some sacrifices in the Old Testament allowed the worshiper to eat parts of the offering, but not the burnt offerings. So by saying, "Add your burnt offerings and eat the flesh," God is rejecting their sacrifices. They can eat their they can hear their sacrifices because God doesn't want them. And why he doesn't want them? Because their sacrifices no longer fulfill their intended purpose. Rather than again symbolizing communion and fellowship with God, their offerings had become empty rituals. They bring their sacrifices to God, but their hearts are far from God. They bring their offerings to God, but their lives were not surrendered to God. And they think that that is enough, that God will be content, that God will be happy with that. This was a recurring issue in the life of Israel, as it is highlighted in 1 Samuel 5:22, where God says to obey is better than sacrifice. But the people of Judah did the opposite. They offered sacrifices but ignored God's commandments. Injustice, violence, idolatry filled the land. They turned God's religion into empty rituals, empty shells, thinking as long as we bring sacrifices, we'll be okay, we'll be fine. We are doing what he demands, so we are secure. But it was a false sense of security. Captivity and exile are imminent to the people of Judah. Dear friends, are you at the risk of turning your religion into mere empty ritualism? And in asking this question, let me say that Judah's sacrificial system itself wasn't the problem. Nor was the presence of the temple among them the problem. If you read carefully throughout the Old Testament, you will see that God instituted these practices, but they were meant to be offerings representing their hearts, not only empty shells. You know, the church so many times struggles, and we struggle in how we view rituals. We look at rituals with kind of suspicion, and yet we overlook their rich pedagogical value as seen in the Old Testament. The issue for Israel, it wasn't being ritualistic. In fact, that's not the issue for us either. All of us have our own rituals. The problem is disconnecting our hearts from the outward acts. The Israelites, Judah especially, they were called to ensure that their external practices reflected true inward devotion, leading to true transformation. Dear friends, we are not better than them. We face very often the same temptation as the Israelites, the temptation to disconnect the internal from the external and turn our faith sometimes into mere externalism. We may sin in church without really engaging our hearts. We may hear the word of God without really looking to apply it into our lives. We may seek community without using that community to confess our sins to one another. And in this, let me pause for a little bit and reflect on this truth. Have you noticed how easy it is today to talk about our struggles related with depression and anxiety? And I'm not saying that this is wrong, that we should not do this. But yet, we rarely address the idols and the sins of our hearts. Think about that. Talking about our sins has become or is always uncomfortable, really uncomfortable. Saying that I am depressed or that I am anxious has become the norm. We so many times ask prayers for that, but when was the last time we asked our friends to pray because I'm sinning with such and such sin? My goal with saying this is not to make you feel guilty or just uncomfortable. I am as guilty as you all are of this sin. But in a sense, it is my goal to make you feel uncomfortable enough so that you can see that there is a remedy for all things, these things that we rarely dare to speak of. And that remedy is to listen to Jesus, the prophet. True security is found in trusting Christ's voice, not in deceptive words. Now, my third point, there's a third reason that gave God's people a false sense of security. And that was the influence of these false prophets that they chose to listen to, that they chose to follow. You know, throughout the unfolding drama of redemption, one question echoes persistently in the background. If you can imagine the history of redemption from Genesis all the way to Revelation, there is a question that is constantly resounding in the back of this history of redemption. And the question is, who will God's people listen to? Who will God's people listen to? From the garden in Genesis to the triumph in Revelation, this question resounds through every moment, calling us to discern whose voice we follow. Now, our text reveals that God formally established the office of prophet during the Great Exodus. While prophecy existed before this time, the prophetic office was inaugurated when God called Moses to lead the liberation of Israel. Verse 25 states, "From the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have persistently sent all my servants, the prophets, to them day after day." So the problem wasn't that they did not have prophets. They have all the prophets from God. Jeremiah is one of them. But in a way, the problem in Judah, however, was not a lack of prophets, but an abundance of false prophets. Counterfeit prophets. Counterfeit prophets arose contradicting the message of true prophets, especially Jeremiah's, and leading people astray. These false voices created a deceptive sense of hope, false security, and a life of complacency, pulling the people further from God's truth. Jeremiah's call to repentance was clear. Amend your ways, and you will dwell in this land. Yet the false prophets countered with the refrain, "This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." And tragically, Judah failed to distinguish between the voice of the true prophet and the voice of the false prophets. What followed is history, and all of us know it. In 586 BC, the Babylonians breached the walls of the city after a relentless siege. Hunger ravaged the city, driving desperate acts like mothers boiling their children for food. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord was desecrated and burned. The priests were slaughtered in the same place where they were offering sacrifices to God. And the streets ran with blood. The survivors were exiled. Their Zion song were replaced with lamentations. And the city now lays in ruins. A haunting testament to divine judgment and the consequences of refusing to listen to God's voice through his prophets. Dear friends, are you listening to your prophet? Are you listening to Jesus? And if so, how do you listen to Jesus? And maybe some of you are going to say, well, how is he speaking to us today? Well, today Jesus speaks to us through his word. That's the main means by which prophet Jesus speaks to us. Peter says that we have, actually Peter calls the Bible, the scriptures, the prophetic word. Listen to how he puts it. And we have, says Peter, the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Ironworks Church, your success will be determined by how close attention you pay to the words in the scriptures. It will depend on what the Bible means for us as a church. As Christians, the Bible is our prophetic word. Through the Bible, Christ continues his never-ending prophetic ministry. You know, in the Reformed tradition, we speak of Christ as our king, as our priest, and as our prophets, and I know that you know those three very well. And we often emphasize that his kingdom will never end, is an eternal kingdom, and we are right in doing so. And we say that as our priest, he intercedes on behalf of us forever. However, we often neglect to reflect on the fact that Jesus Christ is our prophet forever as well. In eternity, the knowledge of God will be possible only because Jesus is our mediator, the mediator between God and us. And he will forever continue to be the revelation of God to us, even in heaven. But today, it is through his word that Christ helps us battle against the false prophets of our culture and the false prophets that we also listen to. Where are those false prophets or voices? Well, these false voices surround us, and they are in books that we read, podcasts that we listen to, movies, worldviews that distort reality. So how can we distinguish between truth and lie? Is it even possible to do that? Yes, church, it is possible. It is possible to distinguish between truth and lies. And the answer lies in knowing the voice of your prophet. As Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Now, this is not just a relationship of transactional relationship. This is deep community. Too often, we desire to hear God's voice. What is the will of God for my life? But we don't spend much time in communion and fellowship with Him by dwelling in His words. So many times it's just like, God, tell me what I need to do and I will do it. As if God were concerned only with what we do. He wants to spend time with us. We want to have fellowship, communion with us. And everyone says, if I can give you an advice today, let me put it this way, in a pluralistic society, in the pluralistic society we live in today, we must know the Bible better, no less. We must. It is an imperative from God to us. We must know the Bible better, no less. And I'm not just talking about knowing a few verses here and a few verses there. I'm talking about understanding the comprehensive worldview scriptures present to us. How we think about humanity, about emotions, about sin, about conflict, about Christ, about God, etc. Surface level engagement with the scriptures won't suffice. The challenges are so many out there. We need deep, thoughtful meditation to apply God's truth to our lives, to our marriages, to parenting, to work, to pastoral work. Don't dismiss passages as too profound, too complex to understand. I'll come back when I have more time to be able to figure it out. Dig deeper. Listen to the voice of your prophet Jesus through the scriptures. He is the true prophet like Moses, who called us to heed his voice. As Matthew says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Why can you trust the voice of this prophet, Ironworks? Because unlike any other prophet, Jesus has the power to fulfill his words. You know, no other prophet in any other religion, and you can search throughout and you won't find it. No other prophet in any other religion, whether Muhammad, Buddha, or in Hinduism, prophesied anything like Jesus. And his words came true. He even prophesied his own death. But more than that, dear Ironworks Church, Jesus did what we couldn't do. You know, like Judah, we deserve destruction for ignoring God's word. Yet, Jesus gave himself in our place, surrendering to the enemy to spare us. He became the true temple. God handed over his own son so that we would not be exiled, destroyed, but we will resurrect with him. He came as the prophet to rescue us from our spiritual ignorance. And now he leads us with his tender voice, revealing God's word and calling us to listen and trust him. Remember, true security is found in trusting Christ's voice, not in deceptive comforts. So as we labor, let's labor to understand more his word, his voice. Ironworks Church, the Lord bless you.